It is really good to see all of you here, and I want you to understand why we are here. Look, in today's day and age, there are few things more attacked than the Word of God, right? We can doubt it, we can disparage it, we can even disagree over what it says. But it says of itself that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God endures forever. This has not changed. I was actually infuriated last night. My wife was shaking her head at me. What in the world are you so upset about? I was reading an article that talked about how this Bible that I hold is corrupted, and their proof of it was using a cultic version of the Bible. I was like, well, yeah, of course that one's corrupted. It's part of a cult. What do you think? But this has not changed because God hasn't changed. And this is His Word. Every year we have the Gideons, which I'm really pleased that we have Earl able to speak in person today, because if you remember last year, the Gideons, they showed up the first week that we were closed down and we had to do it via video. And that was definitely something that was a drawback. It's so good to see you. Good to see people online as well, to be able to connect. But Earl introduced himself to me as, I'm Earl Firster, not Seconder, Firster, which I said, that's going to be a problem because I've got to introduce you. But Earl, we are so pleased to have you here and to hear what God has laid on your heart from the Gideons, their ministry. There are little pamphlets. Oh, I am so sorry. I forgot to have those handed out. But there are pamphlets as you leave at the entryway. Be sure to grab one of those. They are doing great work. And in fact, if you look in the seats in front of you, at least one in every row, there are Bibles that have a little lamp on it. It means it was placed by these fellows, because we have Gideons in our church, and it's so great to have you here, Earl. Would you share with us what God has given you this week?
Thank you, Pastor Aaron, and thank you, church, for letting us come each year and refresh you with what's happening in the Gideon ministry. My title this morning would be, The World Needs the Word. And I haven't had a pastor disagree with me yet. So now, this morning, before we start, I think when we gather for corporate worship, it's only proper that we look at the Word. So let's turn to Psalms 119. Now, don't gasp. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Just the first 16 verses. But I want you to listen real good, because Psalms 119, with the exception of just a couple of verses, every verse talks about the Word. Precepts, law, commandments, you watch for the words in there that refer to the Word of God. Psalms 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. O, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Now, with this pandemic that we have going on, if people of the world would listen to those words and turn to the Word, we'd have a different world. Now, we're not supposed to preach when we talk about the Gideon ministry. We simply present the Gideon work. But with this virus that's going on, I have to get a little preachy. So forgive me this morning. I'm going to tie in with the Gideon ministry the thing that I have been neglecting most in my life. You can tell by my hairline I'm getting older. But with this pandemic that's going on, I feel a little bit like the Apostle Paul when he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. This virus pandemic has taught me one thing, and I hope it has taught you folks the same thing. I have not been witnessing like I should have been. Has that taught you this? So I'll tie that in this morning, witnessing, along with what Gideons are doing. You hear the expression, we're in this together, this pandemic. You see that all the way. We're in this together. Well, we're in this together. The Gideons and the church are in this together as far as witnessing. This is not, we can't leave the witnessing up to the pastor or the deacons or elders. Every one of us who had named the name of Christ as our Lord and Savior are in this together. We have 500,000 people passed away through this pandemic. People haven't been dying of pneumonia, they're dying with the virus. But think of those people. It's on my heart. I have a passion for those people who have passed away. Did they know the Lord or didn't they? This is serious business. We're in a warfare today. We know that. Satan is out to get the world, but we have Christ, and we need to tell that to other people. We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning from Joshua, and I want to call attention to this. Look at the first chapter of Joshua, the first chapter. Three times in that first chapter, Joshua, when he took over from Moses to lead the children of Israel, he was told to be courageous, bold. Are we doing that for our Lord? Are we bold? Or do we say, well, I'm not versed enough. I don't know how to talk to people. Be bold. Walk up to people. Talk to them. I stopped on the way out. I'm from Snyder County over along the Susquehanna River. And I stopped for a cup of coffee this morning. And I said to the girl, would you, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? And what do you think she said? I hope so. Well, that's not good enough. I said, wouldn't you like to know that you'll go to heaven if you would die tonight? In 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says, another little later, it says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. That's the message we need to get out as Gideons and as church members, as saved people. We need to tell the people that there's the eternal destiny for our never-dying souls, and there's only a choice of two places. Now, we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, but we don't know which ones will. He does. We have to be faithful in getting the word out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the message of the Gideon. Now, by the way, what do you think the Gideon's purpose is in life when you hear the Gideons are coming again? Well, what are the Gideons? What's their purpose? Many people think our purpose is handing out scriptures. That's not it. Our purpose is the same as your church right here, to win men and women, boys and girls, to our Lord and Savior. That's our purpose. Now, we do it as Gideons by handing the word out, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But I often say to the pastors, now, we hand the word out, and you preach it, and that makes a good combination. By doing that today, we're in this together. By doing that, we will see many souls come into the kingdom. And I'm just waiting now to go to heaven at my age. And I just am waiting to meet people there that kind of say, yeah, I was in that Baptist church and I heard you talk. Or I was there on another Sunday and I heard Pastor Aaron speak. And he talked about going to heaven if we knew Christ as Savior. Those are the things I'm looking forward to at this point. Now, when I come into churches, I ask for four things. And the first is prayer. Prayer is something we just don't do enough of. I think of our Savior when he said to the disciples, you tarry a while here and I'll go a little further and pray. If he needed prayer, being the Son of God, how much more do we need prayer? And he went a little further into the mountain to pray. I have a mountain close to my home. It's called the Shade Mountain. And I just go up there sometimes, and I think that's the best place in the world for me to get with my Savior and pray. My wife used to say, "Hunting season's over. What are you going into the mountain for today?" I said, "To watch the trees grow." He made all those trees, and that's the way I can really commune with my Lord. So now, we got a letter back from somebody in our Gideon ministry. She said, "I stole one of your Bibles." She had lost all of her money at the gambling tables in Las Vegas. Scarcely enough money to get a room for the night. But while in that room, she saw the Bible. She wrote to us. She said, "I remember how my mother used to read to me as a child from the Bible." So she said, "I took it home with me." Then she sent us a check to replenish that Bible. 15% of the Bibles that we put in the motels and hotels are taken each year. But we don't count that as a loss. We count that as an investment in souls for eternity. We want people to take them if they need them. And some time ago, I was speaking in Philadelphia, presenting a message. And afterwards, a lady came and she said, "You were talking about me. I took that Bible." It wasn't her, but she felt guilty because she had taken one also. But in my area, in Seals Grove in Sunbury, we have about between 400 and 500 rooms. And the morning after Christmas is when we go each year and replenish the Bibles that are taken. Sometimes there's cigarette burns on the edges, or they're swelled up to being wet, drinks spilled on them. Then we take those Bibles and put them in prison ministry, where the Bibles are literally tossed around like footballs. We had a man from Snyder County in a prison handing out testaments, and one inmate came and said, "Could I have another one of those testaments?" He said, "I had one, but my pages got all." And our Gideon man said, "What do you mean your pages got all?" "Well," he said, "that's just the right size and the right texture to roll my cigarettes." And he said, "My pages got all." Now, our Gideon man gave him one. I don't know if I would have. But our Gideon said, "I'll give you one, but," he said, "before you roll cigarettes, you read what it says on those pages, especially John 3:16. Now, maybe I would have given one too. But this book is the most valuable tool I have found to witness for my Lord. Inside the front couple pages, we have pages of helps in time of need. If you're lonely, fearful, discouraged, whatever, it shows the reference and the page number. Then inside the back, and I joke with young people, I say, "Do you have a GPS on your telephone?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, everybody has a GPS except me." And inside the back cover, we have a GPS to heaven, God's plan of salvation to heaven. And I use that so often. Now, in my former life, I sold insurance, so I always have a pen or pencil with me. I usually carry two. But one time I only had one. I was in the Susquehanna Valley Mall. We always have prayer meetings Saturday morning, Gideon's. And then afterwards, the mall don't open until 10, but we're finished long before that. So about 9 o'clock, I would go to the mall and sit on the bench, wait for somebody to come by, with the express purpose of sharing my faith, sharing the Word of God. Well, here an elderly lady came in, and it was only 9 o'clock, and she had a whole aria till the stores opened. So I motioned for her, said, "Come and rest yourself." I said, "I'm waiting too." I didn't tell her I was waiting for the stores, but I was waiting for her. But she sat down there, we talked a little bit, and I pulled out a testament, shared with her, and we went through the, showed her the helps. Then I went through the back page, where it has the plan of salvation outlined so well. John 3:16, God loves all of us, but we've all sinned. And then God has a remedy for sin. And it even has a, remember, I was an insurance man. It has a plan of salvation and a place to sign your name if you accept Christ. And so I got to that, and I said, "Now, if you pray this prayer that we just read together," I said, "would you like to sign your name?" "Oh, yes, I sure would," she said. "I never understood that so clearly." And naturally, by that time, I had my pen out. And she started to write, and it was dry. My pen was dry. Here, I only had one with me that morning, and I said, I apologize, but I don't, my pen's quit. Oh, she said, I have one in my purse. So she dug through her purse and found the pen and signed it. Now, I think she was serious. Sometimes we don't know whether they're real, understood it. But when she got her own pen out, I was pretty sure she was dead serious to take the Lord as her Savior. Those are the way I try to do things. Now, back to my thought about, I ask for four things when I come into the church. First is prayer. Our work was started in 1898. Out of Wisconsin by prayer. Two traveling salesmen had to share a room. They prayed and had devotions before they went to bed. That's how it all started. Then shortly after that, there was a Presbyterian ministers' convention held there, and they heard about this young group of businessmen putting Bibles in the hotels, so they called them in to have them present the work, and one of the preachers got up and said, if these men are willing to take time out of their schedule and money, he said, I think we ought to take up a collection. That's how it started, that churches share with us financially. So there'll be an offering at the door or something, I don't know what. But anyway, that's the third thing. I missed the second point. We asked for manpower. You see, I'm getting older. And the people that send me out here said, I can't quit going out speaking until I get a replacement. So I'm going to ask the pastor and the deacons to give me a couple names of people that might want to become Gideons. Gideons are no different than anyone here in the church. We're simply saved by grace, men saved by grace. But we do have a passion for souls. And sometimes pastors or churches are hesitant to give people's names because they think if I give that man's name as a Gideon, he won't be as active in my church. That is not true. When people become Gideons, they become more active because they see the need of souls dying without Christ. So we ask for businessmen, farmers, doctors, dentists, lawyers, whatever you have, even insurance men can become Gideons. Now, I shouldn't do this, but I use a couple of personal examples. They were after me for 10 years before I became a Gideon, 1980. And 10 years before that, they know I sold insurance. One man said, if you can talk about insurance, you can talk about your Lord and Savior. I knew I could, but I'm from the old school. I sold insurance at the kitchen table rather than over a computer. And I said, I'm too busy. I don't have time for meetings and so on. And then it started in 1980. He came to me and he said, now we're going to start a group of Gideons in Snyder County. It was always across the river in Sunbury. And he said, what's going to be your excuse this time? And he left me hang just a second, and he said, to the Lord. What's going to be your excuse time to not be a Gideon? To the Lord. Now, that was almost like our Sunday school teacher said, hitting me with a two before. Instantly, the Holy Spirit said to me, remember what I done? I came to earth, John 3:16. So I love you so much that I went to Calvary. How could I say no to the Lord? I could say no to the business people. I was too busy. But I couldn't say that to the Lord. It just struck me. Now that's what I'm asking men here in the church. Why would you not want to be an ambassador for Christ? Why would you not want to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus? Am I getting cleared through to you? I hope so. Okay. The fourth part of what I ask for when I come to churches is the card display in your foyer. And I notice you're using it. The cards are getting a little low. I'll have to contact your Gideons here in, is this Blair North County? Okay, I'll have to have the Gideons get more cards for you. But we have memory cards, sympathy cards, recognition, if people have babies or promotion at work, whatever, and thinking of you. Now, in every church, there's people, you can send a thinking of you card. Maybe just getting older, maybe just getting married, whatever. And when I get a card from my son or daughter, I cheat a little bit. I turn it over and look on the back. What did they pay for that? $3, $4, $5 for a card. And what do you do with it after you read it three times? Recycle it. Now, there's a scripture that says, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Before our Bibles are recycled, they can be read by 2,300 souls at a 50% fill at a motel. Now think of that. 2,300 souls can read a Bible. And they only cost $5. 5 years ago, this past February, my wife graduated to heaven. Liver cancer. We saw it coming, and we reminisced a little bit, and then we thought of the future. We're going to meet again. People say they lost their loved ones. I didn't lose mine. I know right where she's at, and I'm looking forward to going to meet her. I said to a Sunday school class, I think it was Dr. DeHaan from Radio Bible Class, used to go to the office in the morning, and he'd say to the staff, to the girls, well, it may be today. And I say, it may be today. Oh, Lord, come again. So that's my goal, but I want to be faithful until he comes. Now, when my wife passed away, I got a lot of sympathy cards through the Gideon card display program. $1,150 were donated to the Gideons through her passing. Now, there's a verse in Scripture says, though he being dead, yet speaketh. As I'm talking to you this morning, I honestly feel my wife is speaking for her Lord through all those Bibles that went out under her passing. You got my point? So use the cards. I very seldom buy a card at a bookstore anymore. I use the cards in the churches for whatever it is. I want to tell you a couple illustrations, testimonies that we get back. We had a young man working overseas. He had a faithful wife back home, but he got involved a little bit like the prodigal son in the Bible. Wicked lifestyle. Somehow his wife found out about it, and upon his return, she said, Bob, our marriage is over. The way you've been living, I can't have you for a husband. Now, he happened to be a son of a pastor. He knew better. He wasn't brought up that way. He had a faithful wife and a faithful parents praying for him. Somehow, his wife found out about how he was living, and she couldn't have him. But God intervened. They had to attend a niece's wedding in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they lived in Orlando, Florida. Upon coming north, they stopped in Chattanooga and stopped at a motel, and entering the motel, she saw the Bible on the nightstand. She picked it up and said, Bob, the only way we can save our marriage is if we get right with God. She was writing the letter. She said they sat down in the bed, opened the Bible, read from it, got on their knees beside the bed, and asked God to heal their marriage. Again, I repeat that 1 John where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He says God forgave his wayward lifestyle and healed their marriage. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. The letter could stop there, but it doesn't. He writes on. He said, due to the prayers of his godly mother, he came back to know the Lord. But he said that Bible put in that room was an instrument that God used. The letter could stop there, but he writes on. He said, and some businessman, they call them Gideons, took time out of his business schedule to put that Bible in that room some weekday morning. Letter could stop there, but I'm telling you the way he write it. And he said, and some Sunday morning when the Gideons were in that church and made a plea for their ministry, somebody put a $5 bill in the offering. I say that to let you know that we are all, as God's children, involved, used of God in the ministry of redemption and reconciliation. Think of that. You could be that person that put that $5 bill in. You could be that Gideon who delivered that Bible. Women, you could be that praying mother for a wayward person. We don't know, but we're all in this together, like the pandemic motto is now. That's part of our Gideon ministry. We had a nurse. We used little white testaments to share with the nursing profession, and we had a nurse that was called to do private duty nursing to a world-renowned businessman. He literally had business contacts in other countries, and he was dying with cancer. He knew that, and he had a private nurse to take care of him, and he thought that was a pack of cigarettes in her jacket pocket, but he soon saw that she was reading from a little book. And he was a very arrogant business person. He called himself an atheist. Didn't believe in God. Now, you've heard the saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. I wonder if there are atheists on their deathbed. I don't know. But anyway, God works mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He was working that man's heart, and in a few evenings, he said, "Would you read to me from that little book you're reading from?" Praise God. In a matter of weeks, he came to know the Lord. He asked if he could have that book. He said, "I'll have businessmen pass mine. I'd like to hold that in my hands in the casket." She gave it to him because she knew she could quickly get another, and she was a Christian nurse. Now think of that, the power of God's word. In Hebrews, it says, the word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And that's how God uses the word, if we're willing to share it with other people. That's part of our Gideon ministry, doing those things. Every year we have Gideons go in other countries if they want to volunteer, pay their own way. And some 2 years ago, we had a group go to Kenya in Africa. And they don't have textbooks over there. So the mistress, the head teacher, said, "Children, this is going to be our textbook for the next year. If you don't have it, you'll walk home your 3 or 4 miles and come back with it." Isn't that pathetic? Here in America, we can no longer hand out the little red ones to the 5th and 6th graders like some of you older folks got. We can still put them on college campuses up in Erie, Clarion University, Susquehanna in my town, Lewisburg, Bucknell, and remember, I want to show you something. Bucknell was a Baptist school. Susquehanna in Seals Grove was a Lutheran college. You would not know it today. We've drifted away from the word. But we're still handing testaments out where we can. Some time ago, we had a group of Gideons go to the land of Haiti, which is the poorest country, one of the poorest countries in the world. And they can only take so many of these, so they were on the last school ground coming home, and they had 30 of these left. But when they got to the schoolyard, there were 60 hands went up, one for me, one for me, one for me. This Gideon that showed us the film and stuff, he was from Lancaster, his name was Stolzfus. Don't that sound like Lancaster? Well, who would have got those 30 if you'd have been Mr. Solstice? Naturally, the ones up front. But these children there in Haiti, poorest country, if they had money to buy a Bible, they wouldn't have bought a Bible. They'd have bought rice for their bellies. But these children sat down in the schoolyard, and he took pictures. They tore them apart by Matthew, Mark, Luke, so that each family could have a little portion of God's word. Isn't that pathetic? We think we're limited, and we are here in America. This last year, we couldn't do near what we planned to do as Gideons, but we still had a good harvest, so to speak. But other countries are screaming for the word of God. We have shipments packed, ready to go all the time, waiting for funds to send them out to these other countries. Pray with us for a couple countries yet. We're in 200 countries around the world, but we still have a few, well, I call them the stand countries, those Russian countries, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, those kind of countries you can't get in yet. So pray with us that God will break down barriers and open up those countries for us where we can get in and share God's word. There's still rebels, wars going on, fighting us, but we still want to be faithful. One of our best things we have recent, and you have them here in your church, ask the pastor about it, is a Gideon app. Now, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to use these. Some time ago, I was trying to explain it. I said, somehow you stick it in your telephone. And the preacher was sitting back. No, Earl. He said, that's not the way you do it. He explained the whole thing for me. So ask your pastor. He'll tell you how to use it. But you can enter it in your phone, and you can pull up the gospel in 1,300 or more languages and dialects. So we, not a one of us, have a reason to not share. If you have a Muslim, a Spanish, a Hebrew, whatever, sitting next to you at a bus stop or wherever, restaurant, show them the card and say, enter it. Enter it on your phone and pull up Matthew or John. And you can share the gospel just by having that little card. We also put that inside the information, inside our New Testaments also. So that's another way of sharing. Now, I want to ask you to do something this morning. Before you eat lunch today, count how many Bibles you have in your home. Husband and wife, do you each have a Bible or must you share? Children, do your children have their own Bibles or must they come to you to share a Bible? I must have a dozen Bibles in my home, and I think it's all right to study from and so on if I share proportionately. But if I see and hear about these countries who don't have Bibles at all, and I don't share financially, then I think it's a sin. I forget where the verse is. It says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I think I sin more by omission than by commission. How about you? So I want you to count your Bible. See how many you have. And then turn to Proverbs 3:27. Years ago, I heard Oswald Smith from People's Church in Toronto, down at Ocean City, and it stuck with me for 70 years. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We live in one of the most affluent countries in the world. Let me repeat it, Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Is it right that we have so many Bibles and so that many people in the world don't have any? Ponder that. One other thing that struck me this week as I was thinking about sharing and witnessing, I don't want people to look at me as an example because I am worthless. We all have sinned. We're all like filthy rags. We want to give all the glory to God for anything that can be accomplished. When D.L. Moody from the Moody Church in Chicago, he was going out in the streets of Chicago to start a Sunday school and rounding up children, and somebody approached him and said, Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you're witnessing to people out there in the streets, bringing little children, unkept children, into church. And Mr. Moody said, I don't like my method either. What's your method? And this man said, he stuttered a little bit. He said, well, I don't do that. Mr. Moody said, I like my method better than your method, so I'll keep doing it my way. Now, if you don't like the way I told you, I'm witnessing to people, that's fine. Do it your way. But witness. We all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and Mark, but I like to use Acts. Acts 1:8. After you receive the Holy Ghost, and you know when that is, the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, but personally, when I was 15 or 16, I don't remember exactly what my age was, but somewhere there, I walked the sawdust trail, so to speak, went forward and made a commitment to Christ. Now, I didn't live for him in my early years, sad to say, but I did later come to serve him wholeheartedly. And Romans 8:28 is my life verse. All things work together for good to them who love God. The Holy Ghost entered my life when I accepted Christ. So Acts 1:8 says, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. Now, most of us can't go to Africa, but we can go to our own Jerusalem. And I count that little word in there, like shall, I count that as a command, not an option. I feel every one of us who name the name of Christ is commanded to be witnesses. You got the point? If it hurts, all right. Sometimes I feel I have to wear lumberman's shoes, steel-toed, because the word hits me so hard, tramps on my toes. But that's good. If it don't, it's not doing any good. So that's our object. Now, in closing, I want to give you one more testimony, and this is so touching. We have a campground owner up in Maine. He has cabins, a whole bunch of cabins. And every evening he goes around and to make sure everything's secure in his campground. And he remembered that a young lady had checked in this one cabin, and when he got near, he heard sobbing. So he knocked the door, and she said, come in. Here sat a young lady on the bed with the open Bible on her lap, sobbing profusely. On the bed beside her laid a loaded revolver. He said, what's wrong? She said, my life is so messed up with sin, I had fully intended to take my life here in your cabin tonight. But she said, I remembered how my mother read to me as a child from the Bible. And she said, I saw the Bible here and I picked it up, and I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. So he says, men, Gideon men, come and check my campground every year without fail. What would I have found in the morning if that Bible had not been there? That I leave with you. It's a challenge. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for having me come here this morning. And Lord, it's not my words, it's your words. It's your message, not mine. We're in this together. But oh God, give us greater passion, a burden for the lost round about us, right here in Tyrone, in the surrounding communities. Help us to see those souls that are dying without you. And Lord, help us to even pray for our leadership, our president, and those in leadership, that they might turn from their way they're living and their precepts or thoughts, their styles. Let them turn and fall back to the way our country is founded on. And as church people, let us resolve to continue to pray for revival. We realize it has to start with us. 2 Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from the wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Lord, this is our prayer. So I pray for this church here, Baptist Church in Tyrone, that you will bless it abundantly. Be with the pastor here, direct his life. Be with Brother Aaron, that he will stay firm and true to the word of God. And for the people here, that they will be encouraged, build up in the faith, grounded and being firm. Help them be like Joshua, be bold and courageous, all of us, Lord, in these coming days. We don't know whether we have another day, another week, another year, but give us a greater burden for the lost round about us, and we'll thank thee and praise thee eternally, for we pray in Christ's name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you real good.
Thank you, Brother Earl, for sharing. This book is more than just a book. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. In addition to the information of the Gideons that, as a reminder, is out on the countertop as you leave, we also welcome any gift to them to be placed in our normal collection box marked for Gideons if you can. We would love to be a blessing to you as you have been a blessing to us throughout the years. The Gideons have constantly I've been at work. But I hope you understand this is more than just an excitement about what the Gideons are doing. It's about what God is doing. It just so happens to be through the Gideons in this regard. And as Earl said, if you're serving, if you're sharing the gospel, whether that's through the Gideons or elsewhere, any way that we can say yes to God, we want to help you to. Because we as a church have connected to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. And none of that is possible without God's word. Anything we can do to help you say yes to God, we want to be there for you. So as you go, may you go being washed by the cleansing of the water of the word. Brother Earl, thank you. Would you all pray with me? Lord, would you bless your work? Whether that's through the Gideons, through Grace, or elsewhere around the world. Lord, we want to see your name made great. We want to see your word spread across the nations. We want to see an impact that only your word can bring. It's not our wisdom, it's not our knowledge that's profitable for these things, it's your word. So Lord, would you use your word mightily? Lord, if there's any here, that there's something holding them back from saying yes to you, would you remove that roadblock? Whether that's being part of Gideon's or another ministry in their life that you are calling them to, would you remove that roadblock right now? That they might know what it is truly about to say yes to you. That what they're seeing as a sacrifice is really an investment. That they would see the power of prayer. That they would see the value of your word. That they would see the joy of serving you. And the blessing that that truly is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Go in peace.